Spirit, I had to leave some material out. My five minute sermons often go a lot longer than expected. But there was a section there that I wanted to mention, that if we think of the Holy Spirit as a power, and a power only, then we will want more of that power. But if we think of the Holy Spirit as who He is, God, the Spirit, then we will want to give Him more of us. We will want to open ourselves to have more of Him controlling us. See, because the Holy Spirit's not a power. And it's an issue of surrender. It's an issue of control in my life. Who's going to be in control? And so may our heart be, Lord, fill me, meaning take control of my life. I surrender. Amen? Amen. We're going to read Scripture together. Right before we do that, though, we're going to dismiss our kids for Children's Church. So let's bless them as they go on out. Amen. Amen. We're reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be reading together verses 1 through 11. And we'll read from the New International Version in unity together. Let's read it now in unison. Let's begin. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To other, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. The Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. You may be seated, and I'm going to ask Joe Smith, our elder, to come and pray over the Word this morning.
Father, now we come to hear from You. I pray You would anoint Tom and his tongue, that his words would be Your words, that You would speak to each one of us in Your own way through just these gifts that we just read about. Father, that the gift of hearing, that we would hear with open ears and open hearts and receive what You have for us today. I pray Your blessing on Tom. Commend him into Your hands. Amen.
Amen. And if you have not turned in your Bible already, please do so. And there should be an outline in the bulletin as well that will go along with the sermon, if you find that helpful to follow along in the PowerPoint presentation as well. We're continuing on in the series that we began a few weeks ago in 1 Corinthians. About 4 weeks ago we began and we talked from chapter 13 on the foundation of love, how the foundation of love is the platform, is the foundation for all the use of the gifts, all of our ministry. It must be on the foundation of love. Then following that we talked about unity and diversity. The unity that we have, that there is one body, but many diverse members, and also there is one Spirit, but many diverse gifts, and how We all need one another, and we need all of the gifts that the Spirit of God has for us. And then we moved into chapter 14, and we looked at the fact that the gifts that God gives us in the assembly must be intelligible, they must be understood, and they're given to edify, to build up the body, to build up the members of the body. This morning, I want to preach, and this will be the last message on this series, that all of the gifts are needed. All of the gifts that God has for us are needed. Even those that we think that may not be very important, they are very, very important. And each of those gifts that the Spirit of God gives to us are tools for ministry. We must think of the gifts that God has given to His body as tools for ministry. Now, before I move into the sermon, I need to address something that I overlooked a couple of weeks ago. During the last message, when we read chapter 14, due to time constraints that day, we had a long service that day with communion, and I was late getting up and preaching, and my sermon went long. So I actually skipped a whole section in my sermon for time's sake, and it happened to have some notes in there that was referring to the part where the Scripture in chapter 14 said that women are to be silent in the church. And boy, have I ever heard it. I got a lot of feedback on that. And so I've already talked with some of you and explained what was meant there, but I wanted to do it from the pulpit as well. And the verse that I'm referring to is in chapter 14, verse 34, where Paul says that, as in all the congregations, women are to remain silent in the churches. He goes on to say that they are to ask or inquire of their husbands at home. And so, in short, just going to give it a word of explanation. I don't want to get into a long explanation, just a short word. In short, Paul is prohibiting women from a certain kind of speaking, and that is disruptive questioning and clamoring and side conversations. And really, as we think about it, that principle that he's talking about here now applies to all of us. The reason that this was such an issue in that day is because women, being elevated by Christ to the position of equality with men, by the way, Jesus was the first one who ever did that, right? He brought women on equal par with men. In Christ there is no male nor female, Jew nor Greek, so on and so forth. But in Christ we are all one, we are all equal. But in that church, in that day, the women were celebrating their newfound freedom by questioning and disrupting and causing issue in the congregation. And so Paul addresses them and he says, and we know this because it's evident from verse 35, it's, he says, if you want to inquire about something, you should ask your own husbands at home. And so Paul is referring to disruptive questioning, side conversations, which would really apply for all of us today. If I'm preaching, or someone else is sharing something, and some of you out there begin to have side conversations, that's distracting. That's disruptive. Those around you won't be able to pay attention, won't be able to hear. And that's why we encourage that. If you have those kinds of conversations, you know, you do that after the service or before the service. So Paul is not forbidding women to in all speaking, but rather clamoring and disrupting, and this is what he says is shameful. Now, this is confirmed by his discussion in chapter 11 of Corinthians. Chapter 11, verse 5, he says that a woman can pray or prophesy with her head covered. And so Paul's not contradicting himself. He's not telling women that on the one hand they can pray or prophesy on the one hand, but on the other hand telling them that they have to remain silent. They're not permitted to speak. What he is saying is this: a woman can pray, a woman can prophesy, a woman can give utterance in tongues, a woman can interpret the gift of tongues, or any other gift that she might exercise, except that which would violate 1 Timothy 2:15. And from that scripture we know that Paul says he does not allow a woman to teach or have authority over a man. And so that's why in this church and in the Christian Missionary Alliance, we do not ordain women as pastors, as preachers. And when we have, you notice, when we have women missionaries that come, though they may be doing evangelism, we allow them reporting. We do not allow them to preach because we believe that would be violating 1 Timothy 2:15. So, again, the speaking that he is referring to here is disruptive, clamoring, side discussions and questions. He says to women, and really, again, for all of us, if you have to inquire about something, don't do it during the middle of the service. Don't do it when someone is speaking, someone is presenting the word. Rather, do that after the fact. If you're married, go home to your husband and ask the question there. And as some of you have done, and I appreciate that, you came to me and you said, Pastor, we have a question about some things you've been sharing from the Word. This is not clear. What about this? And we have sought to answer those things. And so that's what Paul is referring to. A woman can pray, can prophesy, and we have freedom in Christ as long as we follow the spirit of what Christ has set out for us, and we maintain the order and the authority that he has for us as believers in Christ. Amen? So, women, you are not forbidden to speak in church, but all of us are forbidden from having side conversations and being disruptive. Amen? Amen. All right, let me move on. And if you have any further questions on that, please feel free to speak to me afterwards. So, this morning I want to talk about the fact that gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us are tools for ministry. When I worked in construction down in North Carolina years ago, one of the things you know and you understand with construction and really all the trades is you have to have the right tools for the right job. If you don't have the right tools, the task becomes very difficult, sometimes almost impossible to do if you don't have the right tools. Now, sometimes we had to create the right tool. Sometimes there's not a tool made for the particular issue or project that you might have. And I've appreciated at times talking to Lou. Lou's a bit of an inventor, and he's invented tools for working on cars. I remember one time I went over to have my brakes done. He was so kind to help me with that, and he actually had a tool that compressed the caliper. Usually you'd have to do that by hand with a clamp. Well, he had some tool that compressed it. It was a cordless power drill of sorts and compressed that thing. I'm not sure if you invented that yourself or you did. All right. So sometimes you have to create a tool. Well, we had a particular job on a house that we were renovating. The front one-third of the foundation had to be replaced. The entire part of it had to be replaced. Now, a lot of the jobs that we did were city jobs, and they didn't pay a lot of money. And so one of the things that we had to do is we had to get the job done right, but we also had to get it done fast. If you want to make any kind of a profit with it, you could not allow the job to drag on. And so what we had to do was we had to invent something which would allow us to jack up and support the entire front of the house so that we could replace the foundation, the one-third of the foundation, all at once. And so here's what we did. We got 2 5-ton bottle jacks, and we put a 16-foot 6x6 beam across the front of the house. It didn't go all the way to the ends, because that's what we had to replace, and we jacked up the house, and the entire front of the house was supported by that beam and those 2 bottle jacks. We were then able to remove that foundation, pour the footers, put the block down, and then drop the house back down on it. It was quite a task. One of the things we discovered in the midst of pulling out the foundation is that there was a stream running under the house. And so as we would dig out the hole, all this water would start gushing out. So we had to figure out how to do something with that. We had to actually trench it and divert the water away from the foundation hole and keep it dry in order to pour the cement. So sometimes you have to be a little bit creative. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit is the most creative being in the world, in the universe. God used the Holy Spirit. We read in Genesis chapter 1 that the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters. And through the Spirit is the agent in creation. The Word is the Son of God, and God the Father is the architect. And the Spirit of God was creative in His abilities to see what was needed in creation and then do it through the direction of the Father. And so it is with the gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has created these incredible tools for ministry. In other words, He knows what is needed for us as people in ministry. He knows what's needed. And so He has created these gifts that he has given to us so that we can accomplish the ministry that he has. So it is with the Holy Spirit. His gifts are given to us to be tools for ministry in the body of believers. The main point then is this. The various grace gifts, the right tools that we have been given by the Spirit, are tools for ministry. And we are to use them in love to give grace to each other and build each other up. I shared this a few weeks back that the word that's translated gifts throughout Corinthians is the word charismata. All right? The base meaning of the word charis is the word grace. And so when we talk about gifts, they're actually grace gifts. They are the ability to give grace to people. Isn't that amazing? The gifts that God has given you and me are abilities for us to give grace, God's grace, to other people. I want you to think about that for a second. A lot of times when we encounter others and other people have needs and they have issues, we just begin to think, oh, well, I don't really have anything to help them. And even sometimes we say, you know, I really don't have anything to give to you except Jesus. Well, guess what? You're right. You do have Jesus to give them. And Jesus has given you and me particular gifts. They are ways to give grace to other people. Isn't that amazing? Actually give grace to other people. I think we don't grasp that sometimes. Grace is the most powerful force in this world. On the foundation of love, but God's grace is that which saves us. God's grace is that which sustains us. We are not only saved by grace, but we stand by grace. And that grace also meets every need that we have in our lives. This grace that he's given us as gifts or as tools are varied and diverse, but they are the right tools for ministry. The Holy Spirit has given them. And here's what happens in the church today. We try to substitute man-made tools for the gifts that God has given by the Spirit to His body. That's what we try to do. And so instead of having a simple and Spirit-filled ministry, we substitute it. We substitute it with bling. You know? Let's just be honest. You turn on the TV and you look at some of the big churches that are on there, and what's there? A lot of bling. Well, guess what? Bling does not accomplish God's ministry. I would rather be in a small church that is focused on the Spirit of God and wants to see God do His work His way rather than be in some large, large church that has an incredible budget and can do anything it wants to do, and they do those things which they feel are going to accomplish God's ministry, but in human ways. I'll give you an example. Well, in the preaching, we're not going to preach anything that is offensive to people. Because you see, if we have this huge building and we need people to give their offerings to support the building, we can't do anything that's offensive. We can't preach anything that's offensive because, you know, the people will leave. If you offend somebody, they're going to leave. Well, what do you do then with the issues such as repentance from sin? What do you do when people are, and I don't know about you, but I struggle with sin. Am I alone in here? We all struggle with sin. So what do you do when you have to talk about the issue of sin, the issue of repentance? They're not very popular. What do you do when sheep are straying? People are getting into things that they shouldn't. And you have, the Scripture says, not only are we to warn them, but sometimes to rebuke. You see, and if we're going to do it man's way, then we're going to shy away from that which is hard. But God, through the Spirit, has given us the right tools. There's one of those tools that's called the gift of exhortation. And we're going to see that in just a couple of minutes. The gift of exhortation means that God has given me the ability to come alongside of you and to point out to you the things that you're doing that are wrong. That's not very pleasant, is it? That's not very easy, is it? But that's one of the gifts he's given. How many of you think we need that gift operating in the church? All of us ought to have our hands up. We need exhortation. Exhortation means to draw out. And so I have a way of coming alongside of you and drawing out, hey, this is what you're doing, and it's against what God has shared, and I'm drawing this out of you, and I'm seeking to help you to see that this is an issue and you need to move forward with it. Someone, you know, interestingly, with someone with the gift of exhortation, they're gonna work with you for only a short period of time. And then if you don't respond, they move on to somebody else. So behind that, you need the person who has the gift of encouragement that will stick with you and encourage you along and will not work against the person with exhortation, but work along with it. So we see these gifts that are given in chapter 12. We see them, that they are given by the Holy Spirit for the good of the body. Verse 7 of chapter 12, we just read this. Let me read it again, though. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The manifestation of the Spirit. In other words, the invisible Spirit and His workings, His action, are made visible to us. How are they made visible? Through these gifts, through these abilities that the Spirit gives. That's how they're made visible to us. And they're given for the common good. They're given for the good of all of us. They're given for my good. They're given for your good. That's what the Holy Spirit gives them for. Notice it says it's the manifestation of the Spirit. It's not the manifestation of the leadership. It's not the manifestation of, you know, the bishop, the pope. You fill in the blank. No, it's of the Spirit. It's led by the Spirit. And so that's why we seek to be led by the Spirit. Let's break it down in the few minutes that we have together. Number one, these grace gifts from the Holy Spirit will never degrade Jesus. They will never degrade Jesus. They will never put Jesus down. We read that in verse 3 that we read a few minutes ago. Therefore, I tell you, no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus, be cursed. Now, obviously, this must have been an issue in the Corinthian church. Can you imagine if we were all gathered here this morning as we are, and we were singing one of these beautiful songs, and then right at the end of the song, someone shouts out, Jesus be cursed! That would be a little shocking, wouldn't it? And Jesus, by the Spirit, makes it clear here through the Word that a person who would say such a thing is degrading Jesus. They are not speaking by the Spirit of God. But rather, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So what is he saying here? He's saying, once again, you have to judge the content of the messages, the content of the gifts, whatever it may be that is being shared. You judge it by the content as it lines up with the Word of God. That's how we judge it. So there are gifts that are given to build up the body, and they will never denigrate Jesus. They will never degrade Him. And furthermore, the glory for any gift, the glory, the credit, always goes to Jesus. In other words, I don't try to take the credit myself. How do we know that? Well, chapter 4 of Corinthians, verse 7, Paul writes this. He says, what do you have, meaning a gift, a talent, ability, what do you have that you have not received? And if you have received it, why do you boast as if you have not received it? In other words, why do you boast as if, you know, you have somehow supplied it yourself, that it makes you look like, you know, you're really something? No, no, no. Whatever gift I have, whatever gift you have that God has given to me, it is indeed that. It is a gift. And so you don't boast about gifts, do you? If it's been given to you, you don't get any credit. I mean, we have to hear that. Because, you see, a lot of times in our flesh, we want to take the credit. That's our nature. We're bent towards that. You know, we have this wonderful ability of taking the credit. Now, we have to fight against that. And we have to fight against spiritual pride. So whatever gift God has given to us, whatever gift He's called us to use and to exercise to build up the body, all the glory and all the honor goes to Jesus. Amen? Gifts are not spiritual badges. I tell you what, I've met people that display their gifts, display their talents, display their abilities like a spiritual badge. One time I was in a service, and at the end of the service we were fellowshipping and talking a little bit, and I got to talk to this one fellow, and he came up to me, and he's like, "Well, frightened. This is not here. This is years and years ago. So please don't think I'm talking about anybody here." But this person gave us, I went out on the street this past weekend, and boy, I was really telling people about Jesus. I was really letting them know, man, that they got to turn to Jesus or they're going to hell. And he just kind of went off on this little spiel. And it was like, whoa, wait a minute. This is not about you. We should never take pride in the fact that we're telling people, that they're going to hell. That is not a pride issue. And guess what? If you have that kind of an issue when you're talking with people, they will pick up on it immediately. And it will be a turnoff. It will be a wall. What do? We share the truth of God, all of it, not just the good stuff, but the fact that we must repent, because if we do not repent and turn to Christ, we are destined for hell. But you do it in fear and trembling, never thinking that we are something, never thinking that, somehow we're special because God is using us this way. Oh, no. We are but vessels, cracked vessels at that. Right? That's what the Word says. We are but cracked vessels. And so all the glory, all the honor goes to Jesus with whatever gift, whatever ability, whatever talent He has given to us. Number two, there is a diversity of grace gifts that are all from the one Spirit of God. And we saw this a couple of weeks back, right? There is unity within diversity. We want unity within uniformity. That is our human nature. Birds of a feather, what? Flock together. That's our nature. We want to have that uniformity. The way that I dress for church is the way you ought to dress from church. The way that I wear my hair is the way that you ought to wear your hair. I believe women should only wear skirts, so all you women should only wear skirts. I believe men should have short hair, so all you men must have short hair. We like uniform. I'm not saying that is true, by the way. So, one of you men, if you come in with a kilt, that's fine. It's fine. Just below the knee, okay? Just below the knee. We want uniformity as men, humans, because it's our nature. It's our nature to want things the same. We don't like things that are different from us, do we? When things are different, people are different, we kind of shy away from that. But you know what? That is God's intentional creation. He's created diversity because it best represents Him. He's created diversity in people because that best represents Him. Can you imagine if we all looked exactly the same, all women looked exactly the same, and all men looked exactly the same? What a boring world we would have, especially if they looked like me. Be very boring. But God has this incredible, creative nature who has created the ability for humans to be diverse and different ethnicities, and He likes it. And guess what? We need to learn to like it, to embrace it, to understand that not only has He given us each other as different as we are, right? And y'all, some of y'all are pretty weird. I know what you're saying. You're saying, Pastor Tom, you're pretty weird too. But He's given us each other. And it's the same thing with the gifts. He has given us these diverse gifts. And let's just be honest. Sometimes, we get a little weirded out with each other. And we have to understand that God has made it to be this way. He has put these gifts through us, through the Holy Spirit, into you and me. And in verses 7 through 11 here, He talks about all these gifts. Let's look at them real briefly together. Now, verse 7 says this: "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom." By the way, He's not talking here just about wisdom. The word is a logos of wisdom, a word or a message of wisdom. Same thing with the next one. To another, the message, the logos of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. And I went over some of these a couple of weeks back. To another, faith by the same Spirit. This isn't just faith to believe. This is a special anointing of faith, the kind of faith that moves mountains. Boy, do we need that sometimes in our midst, don't we? I tell you what, I appreciate that there's some of our leaders that God has given them faith that we have a mountain of a mortgage. We have a mountain of a mortgage, and we need to see God work through us to pay that thing off. I don't know how He's going to do it, but you know, we've been laying that as leaders, we've been laying that before the Lord and say, Lord, we want to be out from under this mortgage that saps all of our resources. And so, you know, some of the leaders in this church have faith to see that mortgage paid off. That's awesome. We need that faith that moves mountains. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. Boy, do we need that. If anyone even thinks you have the gift of healing, would you please see me after the service? We have a lot of work for you. Now, you might say, well, how do I know? Well, has God ever given you just a desire? Somebody that you know is sick, they're ill, and God has given you a desire to pray for them. And you can't explain it, but God's given you a desire to pray for them. You know what? You ought to follow that desire. You ought to pray for them. Get out of your comfort zone. Stop worrying about what people will think about you. And just step out for Jesus and pray for somebody. And you know, what if nothing happens, Pastor? So what? I mean, us elders are come up here every week. We pray according to James chapter 5. We anoint people with oil and pray in faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? A lot of times, nothing happens. But you know what? We're going to keep on praying. We're not stopping. The Lord says to do it, and we're going to do it. We're going to leave the results up to Him. We're going to be obedient. So step out in obedience. So gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. Boy, that's a gift that we need. Distinguishing between spirits. In other words, being able to, and I've actually talked to people who have this gift, and sometimes they can see things through the supernatural, through the Spirit. They actually see things in the spirit realm. That talk about weird you out. That is very weird. But it's God's way of helping to understand what is of the Lord, what is of the Spirit of God, and what is not of the Spirit, what is of the evil spirit. So distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. Watch this, verse 11. You still with me? Say amen. All of these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one. How? Just as He determines. Not as you determine, not as you desire, and not as I desire, not as I determine, but as He determines. The Holy Spirit is this wonderful gentleman who leads us and gives us the gifts as He desires. So don't ever think, my gift is just not really very important. Well, if the Holy Spirit has given it to you, it is important. And He has a purpose and a role for you to play. Now, there are other gifts that are listed in the Scripture that are just as equally important. Look with me at Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. And Paula Walker is going to read that passage for us.
We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him do it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully.
Keep that verse up there for me for just a second. Notice with me the kinds of gifts that are listed here. You see, that's the beauty of the Scripture. The Scripture, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, always balances itself because we as humans tend towards imbalance. And we might think when we've been reading through 1 Corinthians 14 that, those gifts that are listed there, they're the most important, you know. But this is why this is here in Romans 12. Encouraging. What an important gift. Some of you have the gift of encouragement. You are able to encourage people. You can do it in a way that is just, it's supernatural. God, the Holy Spirit, has put this in you to be able to encourage other people. And when you come around other people and maybe they're down and maybe they're discouraged, and you come around them, and you're able to encourage them in a way that they feel lifted up. And they feel strengthened. The word encourage in the Greek is entheos. I'm sorry, I'm wrong with that. It's to put courage into the person. I'm thinking of the word enthusiasm. To put courage into a person. Isn't that neat? So if you have the gift of encouragement, you are able to put courage into another person through the Spirit of God. Contributing to the needs of others. Man, we need that, don't we? Be able to meet needs that way in a financial and practical way. Giving generously. Leadership. What if we all just were followers and there was no leaders? What if we all just were followers and God hadn't given anybody to be the leaders? We'd all just be kind of sitting around looking at each other, waiting for the other person to stand up and take the lead. We wouldn't get anything accomplished, would we? And the same thing with showing mercy. You know, what if everybody was as stern as Mr. Joe Smith? Grumpy and stern. He knows I'm teasing him. I can pick on him. We need people who have a mercy gift. Sometimes, you know, listen, we all blow it sometimes, don't we? I mean, sometimes we really royally blow it. I mean, we do things that we know we shouldn't have done, and the Lord God was telling us, don't do it, and we do it anyway. We just blow it. And the first thing you don't need is someone to come and rebuke you, especially if you know it already, and you're already, you know, sorry about it, and you're seeking the Lord to restore you. You don't need somebody to come and step on your neck. You need somebody who has mercy. Now, if you're being obstinate about it, you might need somebody who has that rebuke for you. And we've seen that happen at times too. So these gifts that he says here, serving, teaching, encouraging, contributing, leading, governing, mercy, they are all as important as the first gift he lists there, prophecy. Speaking forth God's word. They're just as important. Please don't think that the preaching of the word is the most important thing in the service. It is not. It is important. And we are to hear the Word of God and learn the Word of God. But, you know, sometimes God will minister to you through someone else in this congregation, and you won't even remember what the sermon was. You know, it didn't really connect with you that day. But someone came alongside you, and they ministered to you. They encouraged you. Or they spoke to you about where you're going in your life. Maybe it was a bit of exhortation in your life. Maybe someone rebuked you. Or maybe you needed some direction, and someone with the gift of leadership said, you know, I think you ought to do this, this, and this, and you ought to consider whether God's leading you to do this. And all of a sudden you're like, wow, I never thought of that. That's because God's using his gifts to encourage you, to build you up. And you see, this is what God has for us. They all express all of these gifts, whether it's serving, encouraging, contributing, even prophecy, they are giving the grace of God for you and for me. All necessary and important for the body of Christ here. We're going to end with 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. It just says it in such a beautiful way, and we'll wrap up with that. Kim Folio is going to read that for us.
Each one of us should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Kim. Go back to verse 10 for me, Les. I don't want you to think, you know, that this is Pastor Tom's idea. No, it's the Scripture's idea, the truth of God. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. You see it? Administer means to give it out. To give it out in the proper and orderly way. To give out God's grace to the congregation, to each other, in its various forms. God's grace is just like a prism. How many of you know what a prism is? It's that weird-looking glass. It's got all the different cuts and stuff. What do you do? Well, you hold that up to the light, and what do you see? All those beautiful colors, right? That's the way it is with you and me. We are God's prism, each one of us. And the grace of God comes out in a different color, in a different flavor, in a different way in you than it does me. And all of those together make up the grace of God that God wants to give to his people. So don't ever think that your gift is unimportant. Oh, Pastor, I only have the gift of encouragement. Only? Oh, my goodness, do we need the gift of encouragement? And you might say, well, you know, Pastor, why does there seem to be, you know, there seems to be a lot of people with the gift of service? Well, because it's labor intensive. We need lots of people with the gift of service. Can you imagine if all people were like me and just couldn't stop talking all the time? What would that be like? So no, we need some people who can prophesy, preach the word, but we also need people that are going to get the work done. You know me, if there's a task at hand, I'm usually over talking to somebody. And y'all are doing the work. And I like that. But gifts of serving, gifts of encouragement, gifts of giving, gifts of governing, administering. Some of, you know, I praise God for Sue Clackring, our office secretary. Boy, did I miss her these past 2 weeks when she was on vacation. Sue has this incredible ability to organize things. I mentioned something, and she has it laid out in two or three folders and with bullet points before I can even get it done, speaking it. And she has it laid out. Some of you know. You call her, and she gets it done. Now, she's not perfect, you know, and she has her limits. But I tell you what, if it wasn't for Sue, I'd be in big trouble. She has a gift of administration, be able to organize things and keep things in order. If you've been in my office, you know things don't stay in very good order in my office. They're all over the place. So these kinds of gifts are so, so important. Please don't think that whatever gift God has given to you is not important. It is a way that God wants to express his grace that is in you and is in me. He wants to express it to other people in the church body here. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, thank you that in your wisdom, Lord, you have put your Holy Spirit into each one of us who are followers of Jesus, each one of us that has come to know him, Lord. And you've put your Spirit in us who gives us these incredible gifts, Lord. Help us to understand and use our gifts, Lord, knowing that that which you have given us, Lord, and it's important, and you know what is best for each one of us. So, Lord, let us have a right account of ourselves, that whatever gift you've given, to accept it and say, Lord, I don't need to be like anyone else because these are the gifts you've given me. This is who you've made me to be. And, Lord, use me just as you will. With my gifts and abilities and talents, Lord. And Lord, as we do that, we're going to bring glory and honor and grace to you. And the body will be strengthened, and you will receive all the praise. So, Father, this is our prayer today. We ask you will continue to lead us as a church body, continue to lead us in unity, continue to lead us in the Spirit and in the oneness that we have in Christ. Continue to lead us in your word, Lord. May we continue to see Jesus glorified through this church body. May we continue to see people saved, healed, and encouraged and built up, Father. And again, that you would receive all glory and honor. For we pray it in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said, Amen.